Now, there were predictions earlier this week that people in many parts of Wisconsin would get a chance to see the Aurora Borealis tonight. Normally something only those in the far north of our planet can see. There's a South Pole equivalent, too, called the Aurora Australis. But looking at updated predictions, it looks like the northern lights probably won't quite reach here. Good news, though, we may have opportunities again in the near future. The aurora technically is happening almost all the time, day and night. It's what happens when solar wind comes up against the Earth's atmosphere. Also up in the skies, starting later this month, stargazers can see the annual Perseid meteor shower. We're talking about the northern lights and summer stargazing in Wisconsin, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite place to go and look up at the night sky here in Wisconsin? What are your favorite things to see in the sky? Do you have favorite constellations? Do you watch for meteor showers? Have you ever seen the northern lights? Love to hear you tell us about it. I haven't. I've seen really faded dim. So I'd love to hear your story if you've seen a more vivid northern lights somewhere in the world. Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Francisco Lay is a graduate student in astronomy at UW-Madison. He studies plasma astrophysics. Francisco, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We've had these changing forecasts of northern lights. As I understand it, Francisco, we're probably not going to get them. How hard is it to predict if the northern lights are going to reach down this far?
Yeah, that's a great question. Actually, it's very hard to predict way beforehand. Like, it's only like 24 to 48 hours when we can have like a very good prediction of the locations and whether that the coronal mass ejections that are the processes that produces these auroras can really produce them, or maybe they are too weak, or the conditions are not relevant to either produce an aurora at all. So, it's only about 24 to 48 hours mainly.
Now, I give a very short version of what's happening with the aurora. Can you talk us through, you know, the sun is shooting out material. What is actually happening to produce these wild light shows?
Yeah, it's a very interesting process that, as you said, starts in the sun. So basically the sun has all this plasma. It's made out of plasma. It's a very hot gas that is ionized. And on top of that, it has a magnetic field. So it's like a big magnet. Also, the Earth has its own magnetic field. And at some point, there are processes inside the sun that produces some ejections of plasma and magnetic fields, and we call it coronal mass ejections. And those ejections are very intense ejections of plasma and magnetic field, and at some times, but not every time, actually a very few times, those ejections can be pointed towards us, towards the Earth. So then those ejections that we call coronal mass ejections travel through the interplanetary space until it reaches the Earth. And when it reaches the Earth, it collides with our own shield, that is our own magnetic field. And then that magnetic field of the Earth deflects all this plasma towards the poles. So that's why these auroras are seen closer to the poles. And basically, those particles in the plasma and those magnetic fields that are moving towards the pole then fall into the atmosphere and ionize some atoms in the atmosphere. And those atoms are the ones that produces the light that we see, that we call aurora borealis or aurora australis.
Now, what determines the color of the lights? So you mentioned those atoms are getting hit by this plasma. Does it matter, I guess, what kind of matter, what kind of atoms are being hit to determine what the light show is going to look like?
Yes, indeed. So basically, each atom is ionized by these particles from the sun, and it depends on the atom which color we see. So I think, for instance, oxygen can produce these greenish colors, but we have several other colors depending on which atoms or molecules we this particle heat.
Talking to Francisco Lay from UW-Madison, looking at the night sky, the aurora borealis, the northern lights, what causes it, what it looks like. You could join in with your reports at 800-642-1234. Also interested in your night sky observations of constellations, meteor showers, you name it. Join in at 800-642-1234. Looks like we've got some northern lights sightings to report here. John is with us in Partyville. John, hi.
Hi there. Yeah, I've got a real good true story for you. I had a good experience when I was up in Alaska working on the pipeline up the north of by the North Pole. Anyway, it was at Chandler. You can write this down to look it up if you want to prove I'm telling the truth. But Chandler Camp. At Chandler Camp. Anyway, so I'd go out, you know, at night and observe the stars and the northern lights. And we're at the beginning of the Brooks Range. The northern lights dancing around the tops of the mountain up there. And this one mountain was balded, like, not peat, see? And so when it was daylight, I'm on.
John, we're losing your signal, but I think we got it, seeing the northern lights up in Alaska. Now, Francisco, I don't know how much of a part of your research is going and watching the northern lights with your naked eye. Is that something you go to Alaska or elsewhere to try to see?
Oh, I would love to, but I haven't had the chance. Yeah, my work is more related to more distant objects called galaxy clusters that are very, very far away, but I've been very interested in trying to catch some auroras here in Wisconsin. Yeah, but I haven't had the chance yet.
Thanks for the call, John. Yeah, and Francisco, our sun is sending out this plasma that we end up seeing in the form of the northern lights here on the planet. We also have, there are a lot of different forms of cosmic radiation that we look at when we look at things like distant galaxies and supernovas and more, right? What is out there in space coming from, I guess, beyond our galaxy?
Well, that's a great question. Besides the sun that is sending us sometimes these coronal mass ejections, we are always receiving light, basically, light from very different objects like galaxies, very distant galaxies, or stars within our galaxy. And also sometimes we receive cosmic rays that are also particles, very energetic particles, that are moving around the galaxy in our magnetic fields. And very recently, we've had some really nice observations of other particles called neutrinos that are really, really difficult to detect, but they're also part of what we can observe and receive here on Earth from the universe.
Let's bring on another caller now at 800-642-1234. Mary is with us in Greendale. Mary, hi.
Hi. I wanted to tell you about my experience. It was late at night after my second shift job in Oak Creek, and I'm driving home, and I noticed there's a strange cloud, not many other clouds in the sky, just this one odd one. And I made it back to where I live in Greendale, and I pulled over into the parking lot of the high school. And I mean, it's well lit and everything. And I laid down on the back hood of my car, and I just watched this, and it was this huge circular dancing kind of whitish and greenish display. And nobody but me saw it. I was so frustrated. I wanted to share it with everybody, you know.
And Mary, have you tried to replicate that, tried to get out and see it again? It's hard to do in that part of the state.
Oh, all of my instances have been random, just happened to see it. I've had maybe four or five of them.
Wow.
Last one, I was up in a plane, and I looked out, and there's another weird cloud. And I thought, oh, it's dancing around, and it was below me. And it didn't look at all attractive and beautiful like the ones you see where you're looking up. So,
Mary, I'm so happy for you. You got to see those. Thanks. Thanks a lot for sharing that with us. Now, Francisco, what has to happen for, you know, usually you have to be pretty far north to see the Northern Lights. What actually has to happen when, in terms of intensity, I guess, for the lights to be able to be seen here in Wisconsin?
Right. It has to have a pretty fairly large intensity. And also the magnetic field of the coronal mass ejection, this ejection that comes from the sun, has to have the exact alignment with our own Earth, the Earth magnetic field. Otherwise, we could not see any auroras at all. So I think this one was fairly weak. So then the intensity of the aurora would be only concentrated around the pole, the North Pole, so it won't go down to this latitude. So yeah, it has to have a very large intensity to cover more area.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for sharing those stories, those sightings. We are talking about the Northern Lights, the Aurora Borealis. Now, you may have seen, like we did, there were predictions earlier this week that we'd have a great shot at seeing you in Wisconsin tonight. Revised forecast, the more accurate one, as we just heard, says probably not. But they will come back, hopefully soon. Francisco Lay is with us, graduate student in astronomy at UW-Madison. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What's the best stargazing you've experienced in Wisconsin? Have you seen the Northern Lights yourself in Wisconsin or elsewhere? Have you checked out some dark sky parks in the state? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we're picking up our talk about Wisconsin's night sky and how to catch a glimpse of the Northern Lights. Maybe not tonight. Some of the forecasts have changed. Francisco Lay is with us, graduate student in astronomy at UW-Madison. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite place to do some stargazing in Wisconsin? Your backyard, planetarium, state park, you name it. Have you seen the Northern Lights? Join in at 800-642-1234. Back to your calls. Jane is with us in Chippewa Falls. Jane, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to tell us about, Jane?
Well, I was on Highway 29. It was back in the late 70s. And I've seen green and white Northern Lights on a horizon before. But this particular time, it was overhead, and it was like a kaleidoscope of colors. We actually were driving, and we pulled over to watch them. I've never seen anything like it since.
Jane, thanks a lot. That sounds like a fantastic experience. I appreciate you sharing that. Now, Francisco, as I understand it, you mentioned, you know, our magnetic field draws this plasma from the sun. It's also kind of protecting us, our magnetic field, right, from different types of cosmic radiation. We're pretty glad it's there.
Yes, indeed. It's our kind of a shield, a very efficient shield that the Earth has to prevent any harmful radiation or some energetic particles to reach the surface of the Earth. So it's almost, we can say it's thanks to the magnetic field that some life here on the surface of the Earth has been able to survive and appear.
Thanks for that call. So pretty Northern Lights and key to our survival. I love it. Todd is with us now in Fort Atkinson. Todd, hi.
Hi.
What's your story, Todd?
Okay, so I'm 55 right now, and when I was in high school, around 17 years old, so this had to be the year of 84 and 85, I went up to the Boundary Waters canoeing on a canoe trip, and we were lucky enough one night to go on the other side of the island and see it, and it was awesome. It was reflecting off the lake. Ooh. There was absolutely no lights, no light pollution.
That's fantastic.
So I'm wondering,
did you get to do it again, Todd?
No, I only saw it once.
All right.
I went up there 2 years, but I only saw it once. Now, if I was in the same spot now and I saw it, would it be crystal clear like it was, or would it be hazy because of pollution?
Todd, thanks a lot for the call. Francisco, can you talk about some of the factors that let us see things, whether it's the northern lights or a good field of stars in the night sky, whether that's light pollution on Earth or, as Todd mentioned, you know, a haze, airborne pollution?
Right. I think the most important factor would be light pollution. So I would recommend to go to a very dark place and maybe some public parks, that would be great. There are, I think, at least in Dane County, I know that there are some parks that can give you a permit to stay overnight for astronomical observing. So I think that's a great opportunity. But I would recommend a dark sky, a way of light pollution, and also with a low horizon.
Thanks a lot for sharing that experience and that question, Todd. And yeah, you can look up dark sky parks around Wisconsin. There are some official ones and some that are working in that direction. We are talking to UW-Madison astronomy grad student Francisco Lay. Before we go back to callers, I'm jealous of everybody, a lot of great sightings of the Northern Lights. I wanted to talk about these Perseid meteor showers. They're going to be kicking off soon, I understand, peaking in August. What are we looking for there, Francisco?
Yeah, so the Perseids are, as you said, one of the best meteor showers of the year. They are basically little debris of a comet that has, the comet has left all those debris in its orbit, and our Earth is moving towards that debris, and that's what we see. And then when we cross that path of debris, we can see these Perseid meteor showers. And as you said, the peak is in August 12th to 13th. It lasts from July 14th to around August 24th, but I think the peak is around mid-August.
And when you say debris, as I understand it, like something the size of a grain of sand might show up as a flash, yes, in the sky, right? It's just the speeds are so high?
Right. So they are very tiny, as you said, like the size of a sand grain. But as we move towards that cloud of debris so fast, they light up and kind of, light up very, very brightly. And we can see it in the sky as a meteor, as a shooting star. Yeah.
Francisco, hang on for a moment or two. I want to get a couple more stories of Northern Lights sightings. Linda is with us in Platteville. Linda, hi.
Hello. In April, I took some pictures just outside on my porch looking north. And the way to take the picture, the best way to see them is actually through your phone, because I think it picks up colors that you can't see with your naked eye. So I'm only familiar with an iPhone, but if you put it on night mode, you will get the pictures. The videos, unless it's a really strong show, are not going to be picked up. But still, pictures will pick up the colors.
Fantastic, Linda. Thanks for that. And share that on the Ideas Network Facebook page if you're able. Kathy is with us now in Madison. Kathy, hi.
Hi. I saw them down here on the west side. I live on Sawmill Road, just west of Gammon. And I always walked my dog down to Wexford Park. And this has to be 15 years ago, and usually about 10 o'clock at night. And I'm walking, and I get to the park, and I look to the north, and there's just white and green dancing all over above the trees. And I was so excited. I had never seen them before. And my husband's Swedish, so he grew up seeing them all the time as a child. And I ran back. I have to tell someone, but everybody's in bed and everybody's got kids. So I knocked on my neighbor's door and I told him, if you want to see the Northern Lights, they're just spectacular. And he wasn't even interested.
Oh, no. Well, you're a good neighbor, Kathy. Thank you so much. Thanks for everybody sharing your Northern Lights stories. Francisco, what other kind of things do you like to watch for? I know you're watching other galaxies in your work. What other kind of things do you like to watch for in our night sky here in Wisconsin?
I really like the to kind of form the constellations with the stars that I can see, because I am originally from Chile, so I'm from South America, the southern hemisphere. So we have another whole different sky with different constellations and objects. So I'm always finding something new in this northern sky.
Fantastic. What has been your favorite constellation to discover up here in our northern hemisphere selection?
Oh, I got fascinated when I saw the Big Dipper for the first time, because I knew the name, but I couldn't imagine the Big Dipper in the sky. But then it made complete sense. So yeah, it was great.
Let's flip that around, because the Big Dipper is one of the few constellations I am able to identify without any help. Is there something like that in Chile in the southern hemisphere where that's the one constellation everybody knows about?
Right. I think in analogy to the star Polaris here in the northern hemisphere, we have the Southern Cross. That is our kind of constellation to find the southern pole in the sky. So it always points towards the southern pole. So the Southern Cross is, I think, our main constellation in the southern hemisphere.
Francisco, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.
Francisco Lay is a graduate student in astronomy at UW-Madison. He studies plasma astrophysics. He talked to us about the Aurora Borealis, the Northern Lights, the Perseid meteor shower. Thanks to everybody who called in. Wow, so many of you on the line. Again, I'm kind of jealous of everybody. I've only seen, kind of the faint, am I imagining that, or is it really the Northern Lights? I didn't know. You can keep sharing your sightings, though, over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Pictures, please, if you got them.